Good morning again. It is lovely to see you. And thank you to the music team, Jenny and Rachel, for leading us in that beautiful reminder, the peace that we have with God, the gift of shalom, holistic peace that is given to us between God and our humanity as we receive it, and as a gift for us within ourselves, and in relation to others, in relation even to our environment. The gift of God's peace. Isn't that an amazing thing? Well, this morning you'll see maybe in your newsletter that there is something from Isaiah 61, a passage that I think is very significant. Jesus seemed to think was significant as well. He quoted this, he read from this in a synagogue at the beginning of his earthly ministry, his public earthly ministry. And he read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." What a wonderful passage, a wonderful statement of good news that Jesus is bringing. In modern terms, we might even call it his mission statement. He stood before the synagogue that day and said, "Today, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. He is Isaiah's chosen servant." So just as we begin today, we're going to notice a couple of things. Firstly, the Lord God is initiating this. Depending on your translation, it might say the Sovereign Lord or Yahweh God. The Lord God is initiating. And there's an anointed one who is sent. And that anointed one is equipped and empowered by the Spirit of the Lord. The Trinity is present here in Isaiah in the Old Testament. The triune God is at work here. And the second thing we might notice is that this servant, the one that Jesus stands in the place of being, he says to his listeners, he fulfills this. This servant is bringing about God's kingdom by transforming lives and communities. On one hand, we have the poor. And we know throughout scripture this means not just the materially poor, financially poor, although it does mean that, financially poor and socially disadvantaged and oppressed and spiritually poor, separated from God. It means all of those things. The poor, the oppressed, the brokenhearted, those who are grieving, those who experience pain in their lives, the captives, the exiles who were held by a power too great for them, and also the spiritual meaning of that, of people held by the power too great for them, the power of sin. The prisoners, those who are kept in darkness. And the passage goes on and talks about those who are experiencing ashes and ruin. To these ones, there is good news. From that picture, we have news of a transformation. Good news, freedom, liberty, abundant life, healing. Freedom from darkness, freedom from oppression. Good news to those who are oppressed. Instead of ashes, there'll be flowers and a garland. There'll be oil and richness and fullness of life. There'll be praise to the Lord. Jesus starts his public ministry with this amazing statement of God's transforming work in the world, bringing the kingdom. He is seeking to transform the world individually and transform communities. And I'm just going to notice a little bit further on these ones, the ones who were poor, the ones who were the oppressed, the ones who were captive and held prisoner by power too great for them, these ones will become oaks of righteousness. that metaphor and that picture of strength and greatness and solidity, a planting for the Lord to display his glory. The very ones who were poor and oppressed and weak and of faint heart will become oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord and for his glory. So this is Jesus' mission statement. It's the statement he gives at the start of his public ministry about bringing the kingdom of God. And today we are going to look at what is the purpose of the church universal around the world, across time. Our local church is part of that. What is the purpose of the church on earth that Jesus sent to carry on his work of proclaiming good news to the poor, binding up the brokenhearted, bringing release to the prisoners, and proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour? You might imagine there are a lot of passages in the New Testament about what the church is meant to do, how we are meant to go about this. And there are too many for me to cover. But the good news is that I'm not alone this morning. I have a room full of people who can read scripture and work together and study it and see what the Lord is saying to us. So I have printed out about 40 scriptures from the New Testament about what the church is to do. How are we to go about fulfilling and carrying on Jesus' work on earth? Arranged them into 8 envelopes, trying to make sure there's a bit of mixture in each one. And our task is going to be in groups of about 6, read the passages, make a 1-sentence summary about the purpose of the church, and after 10 minutes we'll feedback. The good news, your 1-sentence summary, it's allowed to use the word and. You're allowed to use the word and a few times. But we want to boil it down to 1 sentence. What are we here for? What is our task on earth? As Christians individually and collectively, what are we here for? The New Testament has plenty to say. So let's work together and see what we can find out. You're going to have 10 minutes, but I suggest you're welcome to move the chairs so no one's uncomfortable, otherwise you sort of end up sitting awkwardly with your neck sore. Find out somewhere you can sit and sit together comfortably. Form groups of about 6 people, and I will come around and hand these out. There we go. Okay, I was going to try to set up the laptop here with the TV screen so you could all read it clearly. I don't think my hasty writing on the whiteboard is maybe legible easily. So I will start reading these out. The first one we've got up there, we are a unified body of Christ to love each other, share the good news, using the gifts through his Spirit, using the gifts God has given us. Quite a lot in there. They use commas rather than ands. But they have a number of points in there. We are all working together, accepting that Christ has authority on heaven and on earth. We are parts of the body of Christ. So we're a body with the Spirit of the Lord as we pray, anchored in Christ, reaching out that to others to lay down our lives for others. Right, we have another one here, to love one another, follow the example of Jesus, and study the word, and feed and provide for all, have the peace of God, and be thankful, sing praises, correct in wisdom, and bring gifts together, finding a need and filling it. So I'll try and go through the verbs there, love one another, follow Jesus' example, study the word, provide for others, be thankful and sing praises, and using our gifts to serve. Okay, we have another one. Thank you for these. These are great. We are the family of God. We need to be grounded in Christ and all he stands for, which is love, support, serving each other, and building each other up. And I think it almost says in the strength of the Spirit there at the end. Correct me if I'm wrong. We have another one. Anyone in Christ is a new creation of righteousness. We should all be ambassadors for Christ, showing unity to the world by a message of reconciliation. That's a powerful verse, that message of reconciliation. Okay, that's one of the ones that I got to write up. And so is that. We have a brief summary, a clear brief summary. We are to be the light. Let your light shine. Sorry, is it on the back there? Nope. Let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. We are the light of the world. Succinct. Okay, and as a church, we are called to serve others with love, respect the leadership, share peace, build faith with each other and within the world, and be prepared to suffer. Well, how was that activity? Was it a bit tricky trying to find your way through all of that in a short time? Okay, we've got some nods going out there. Did anyone think it was pretty straightforward? No? Okay, a little bit tricky. Okay, we've got an answer that it was a little bit tricky for some of us. But you've done really well. Can you notice some of the themes that are there? Loving one another. Hasn't almost every one of those talked about being a community in some way? Have you noticed a theme about reaching the world, proclaiming the message? Try and find some ways that people have said it. There are ones up there. So reaching out to others, sharing our faith, showing Christ's unity in a message of reconciliation. So we've got, building faith, sharing it, within the world and being prepared to suffer. We're to love each other. We're to share our faith. A number of these talk about having gifts and using them to serve from whatever means that people have. There are a number that talk about our discipleship, that we're to study the word and grow, following the example of Jesus and studying the word. There's an ongoing growth in discipleship that we need to be engaged in, dedicating ourselves to the apostles' teaching. And throughout, you've mentioned prayer and the presence of the Spirit and glorifying God through what we do. Acts chapter 2, which is also in your service sheet. Chapter 2 verses, oh no it's not, sorry, I put in the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Acts chapter 2 summarises this amazingly at the birth of the church, in the beginning of the church, when they are dedicating themselves to the apostles' teaching. I'm going to read some of that out to us. Here we go. Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Awe came over everyone because of the many wonders and signs that were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The birth of the church, we see these things. They were involved in effective outreach, and many of you mentioned that some way or another. With word, proclaiming the good news. With sign, the Holy Spirit was active and at work. And with deed, with their actions of loving service, a witness to the power of God and the transforming work of Jesus' life. This early church had an effective outreach. Probably our most common one that we've picked up, they had amazing community. They loved one another. They served one another. People's practical needs were met. Their social needs were met, so people didn't have to be lonely. They shared time in one another's homes, and they gathered together regularly. I always find it such a challenging passage that whenever someone had need, people would sell their goods and distribute it so that everyone had enough. What a challenging picture of community. They experienced transformational discipleship. This is not just head knowledge. They were learning. They were learning about the scriptures and they were learning about the gospel. But it was changing them. This community is astounding. This is why the church grew so quickly. Because people saw this and thought, this does not happen by accident. Who does this? They were reading the scriptures afresh in the light of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And saying, we need to live transformed lives because of this. We will live differently because of this. We've noticed that everyone is serving according to their means. One group got the very long passage about the body of Christ. So I think it might have been the group down the back. We're all parts of a body. We all have things to serve and share with according to people's means. And some of them were praying for others. It wasn't always material means or physical action. They were all involved in service and they worshipped the Lord. They loved to gather and worship the Lord. Over and over, they spent time each day praising the Lord, grateful for his transforming work in their lives. Looking at the summary that I've got up here, do you think this is a fair summary of the main things the church is to be doing? Okay, I've got some nods happening out there. Yeah, and some yeses. If we look at all the things, all the different passages we've studied, all the different points that we brought back, these are some key things. Some would add prayer under worship, and some think prayer should be a separate bullet point. So we'll notice that prayer is a very important part in all of these things. The church is to be involved in effective outreach, radical loving community, transformational discipleship. Their lives are changing, continue to change. Serving and worshipping the Lord, all with prayer moving through all of that. This morning, Stoke Baptist Church, what things do you notice? For whatever reason, which of these points, maybe one, maybe more than one, which stands out to you the most? Let's take a moment. What do you think are our strengths as a local body of Christ? Mark, maybe I'll ask, have you got a quick question? What is your question? Okay, what is your answer now? Yeah, the radical community sticks out for you.
It's like the base to really everything on
the list. Okay, and that's what you're seeing here at Stoke Baptist? Or that's just, yeah, okay, radical community. It's a really great point, Matt. What is the Lord saying to you? Notice what it is that you notice. Because the Lord puts different things on different people's hearts. Peter, you
so know. You're asking us a question.
Mm.
Yeah, you do. So, but what stands out for me is heartfelt worship.
Mm, okay.
I've always enjoyed worship.
Mm.
That stands out to me.
Yeah. Worshipping the Lord. Yeah. Great.
Not saying that the service, the good refuge, good stuff,
Yeah. Community and service. Great.
Don't forget, it's all very urgent. Jesus is coming back soon.
Jesus is coming and we don't know when. Yeah. So we need to keep our focus. We do. Well, let's pray.